There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
It's not a very nice way to start off a broadcast, but it is Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, y'all, Sean Sullivan, live local talk over the next hour. Lots to do on today's show and folks to talk about and talk with. Sometimes we'll talk about people while they're listening to us. Sometimes we'll talk about them, and then they'll listen later on the podcast. Well, speaking of which, really one of the cool interviews from this morning I'd like you to check out. We talked to Dalton and I this morning, talked to Command Master Chief Antonio Perryman with the U.S. Navy, one of the many sailors in town for Navy Week now through Fat Tuesday. And we'll have chances. You can go get the link from our Facebook page to see more about going and looking at the Coast Guard ship and the Navy ship that are in port, getting your family going on the tour, walking around, doing all that. But in that that discussion, talking about, and Antonio Perryman from here, graduated at 89 from Murphy, went into the Navy and has served all over the planet and back home in his hometown right now for this Navy Week. Really a neat slice of life, and I'd like you to go check it out. That podcast available, like all our other podcasts, like the 40-some-odd hours a week of live local programming we do, by going to our Facebook. Well, you can go to our website first. Go to fmtalk1065.com, click the link for podcast, get them right there. You can also subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and get our podcast there as well. So, but if you're looking specifically, if you'll go and get hour number 3 of Mobile Mornings this morning, you'll hear that interview with Antonio Perryman, Command Master Chief with the U.S. Navy. Cool stuff. All right, this hour, some gas tax talks. And I'm telling you this right now because we're about to go into the big Mardi Gras weekend. I am too. I'm going to be right there with you. And we're going to come out into Lundi Gras and to the Fat Tuesday. And Fat Tuesday will be the day they gavel in Montgomery for session. Been talking about the... I want to just kind of keep our flag planted here, because if you are a loyal listener of FM Talk 106.5, well, many people in the state, many people in our area are very surprised about a discussion of gas tax, a discussion of infrastructure. If you've been listening to the station over the years, this has been a subject. It came up 2 years ago in session, went quiet last year because everybody's trying to get elected, and it's back this year. It's back big time. Governor Ivey speaking on Wednesday about it, actually even yesterday. And you have State Senate President Pro Tem Del Mar saying there he's behind it. Speaker McCutcheon behind it. Alabama Executive Republican Committee saying they're not behind it. And you have a mix of opinions out there going into what will be, I think, the lead-off batter in Montgomery. We had our ideas that it would maybe make a special session, right? When they have, end regular session, have a special session. It looks like if it's in a special session or a regular session, it will be next week. That is what the rumor mill is churning from Montgomery, that they will be voting by a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow, maybe they will have voted and sent a bill for a gas tax increase to Governor Ivey for her autograph. It's going to happen that fast is what some people are saying. We're going to talk about this coming back in just a little bit. State Senator Chris Elliott joins us. We're going to ask him about what he's seen. Even though, you know, Governor Ivey said earlier in the week she didn't know how the Alabama Republican Executive Committee had voted against this gas tax increase because they hadn't seen the bill. But that's kind of, I don't know. I mean, I think people have been looking at versions of the bill for the last month or so. We'll see what State Senator Elliott's going to do on this, where he's going to vote. Also, kind of get an idea of what this bill actually looks like. What does this mean? I'll tell you, the push is on too. I got this picture here from Gabe Tynes over at Lanyap. How did I not see that the other day when I was coming back from Ed's? Maybe it just did go up today. Okay, maybe it went up today. New billboard saying, "How old is this bridge?" As you're coming down the Bayway, even though I don't want people to get confused, because this the gas tax increase is, as I've been told by people that are in the know. Now, if they're wrong, they're wrong, but I'm passing along what they told me. The gas tax increase is not related to the Mobile River Bridge project. They are separate. So it's not one and the same, but there is a big push right now to get some yes votes on what will end up being a 10-cent a gallon increase, 6 cents in year one, 2 cents in year two, and 2 more cents in year three, for a total of 10-cent increase. So we're going to talk about it this hour. And like I said, State Senator Chris Elliott's going to join us here in just a little bit. Also, I don't know if we have time to get into this. Dalton, did you see Pop Warner banning three-point stance? Pop Warner football? Now, I don't know, because you're 20 years younger than I am, but were y'all running? We were, as down defensive linemen, we were in three-point stance.
Yes.
We were also in
three-point stance.
They're saying now that out of the three-point stance, you lead with your head, it leads to more concussions, those kind of things, and their Pop Warner is going to say no three-point stance. You either are, I guess, crouched or standing up at the snap.
Yeah, I heard that late last night. Thought that was pretty interesting. I guess it will, and they're also not doing kickoffs anymore too, kind of like the Alliance of American Football, which they've kind of begun doing that to speed the game along and reduce big hits like that. But the three-point stance thing makes sense to me.
Okay, but aren't we gonna have to get taller quarterbacks? What's the center gonna do?
Well, I was thinking they might
how's
run.
How's the center gonna, what is center
maybe he'll
do?
Turn around and flip the ball like a coach in practice would. I'm not sure. Maybe everyone but the center will be standing straight up. The center will snap the ball, and then, but even then, he would be at risk of getting his head popped.
Don't you know so. That, and I know we're talking Pop Warner and the kids here, but don't you know that there are many a defensive lineman that would love to have the offensive lineman start off standing up? Don't you know?
Oh, for sure. Well, what's interesting is they're only doing this up to 10 years old, but in professional football and a lot of college football teams, it's basically already that way, because you have the defense is kind of, I mean, you might have a defensive tackle down,
yeah,
but the rest of the defense kind of roving around. They don't want you to know where they're going to rush from. And then on offense, for the most part, tackles and guards now stay in two-point stances, standing up, because they pass so often. I mean, you'll see teams that
that's
get
true.
In three-point
stances. That's true. There's already, so it's about time. I don't know. It just was like, I don't know that I'm, it doesn't exactly bother me. It just was strange when I heard that kind of, it seemingly to me, seemingly out of nowhere. Not and, that it was, but it seemed to me, I was like, well, what's wrong with the 3-point stance we got? Works pretty good, don't it? I mean, that's what I was in my whole, the very short, uneventful football career.
And more importantly, what will happen with the practice drill Oklahoma?
I don't think you can run Oklahoma's anymore.
No more
in Alabama.
And no more Bull in the Ring either, I guess.
Bull in the Ring was gone when I was, maybe while I was still in high school or close to it. I know it was, I graduated in 90, and I think it had gone away. Now, we did some Bull in the Ring, but I think it was gone by the time I was a senior. There's probably somebody out there that knows exactly when it was banned in the state of Alabama. And there's a bunch of people listening to us going, what are they talking about? But there's also a bunch of people that ran that in practice that know exactly mm-hmm. what we're talking about.
Yeah,
Bull
I mean,
in the Ring. Keep your head on a swivel there.
Yeah, when we were transplants from Tennessee and began playing Little League or Pee Wee football in Alabama, my dad was an assistant coach, or the head coach actually, for a little bit.
Right.
Ran Bull in the Ring and caught so much flack. For
yeah,
parents.
Bull in the Ring is, I would never look forward to that in practice until I got bigger. And, you know, but when we were like, they said, hey, the JV is going to come up and practice with the varsity and we're going to run Bull in the Ring, I'd say, oh, no.
Here comes a headache.
That's right. That's for sure. All right. Coming up, Chris Elliott's going to join us, state senator. We'll talk about this gas tax, what he's seen, how he's going to vote. Also, a reminder, another great event at Cottage Hill Package. And tonight, Skip March kicked off the right way. Blue Paint Pants and Mark Twain Brewing are coming out to Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, for another great sampling of great, tasty craft beers. Blue Pants is bringing out their Amber Ale, their Hop Bursted IPA, their Chocolate Oatmeal Porter, their Pilsner, also the Mark Twain Huck Finn's Habanero Apricot Wheat Ale, the Rambler's Red Ale, the Tom Sawyer's Blonde Ale, the Clements Kolsch Style Ale, all will be for us to sample tonight. Starts at 6, goes to 8 o'clock at Cottage Hill Package. And while you're there, get the beers you know you love to have on hand. Maybe you're going to enjoy them for Joe Kane Day or on Fat Tuesday while you're grilling out, something like that. Fine wines, great spirits, and a huge selection of cigars. One place, Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Check them out online, cottagehillpackage.com. Best yet, make sure you like their page over on Facebook and get these updates dropped into your social media that way. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. 5353, ready, break.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. You know, prices like this, maybe some revelers, some maskers could have gotten some Harry's razors for throws here. This is pretty awesome. Been shaving with Harry's for years, telling you about the great shave. That's the key to the whole thing, having fantastic blades and a great shave. But beyond that, the price. Half the price of what you're paying right now at the grocery store, the pharmacy for those replacement blades. And try this, the convenience of having the blades follow you. Show up at your house so you don't have to think about it. You know, 9:30 on a Sunday night, you got a meeting on a Monday, you're out of blades. Not with Harry's. And I've got a great way for you to see what I've been talking about and join the 10 million of us who have been shaving with Harry's for a while. This deal gets you a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3, plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for y'all. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you can get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3, y'all. Free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today, use code MOBILE at checkout, and claim your offer. And let them know I sent you. Help support the show here at Midday Mobile. Make sure to use that code MOBILE. All right, mentioned that, of course, Session, they gavel in Montgomery on Fat Tuesday. Yeah, on Fat Tuesday, they get started. And the gas tax infrastructure bill is obviously a big deal, to the point that Governor Ivey even held a special event up at Maplesville on Wednesday to talk about it and push for it. And what does this look like from the eyes of a state senator? Well, let's check in with State Senate District 32 Senator Chris Elliott, checking in from stepping out of an event down at the beach for us. Thanks for doing this, Chris. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
All right. I've heard all these different versions. Is there a bill? Have you read a bill yet for this infrastructure gas tax thing?
I have not read a bill yet. There has not been a bill widely distributed yet. So the short answer to that question is no.
Okay, so because the governor on Wednesday, Governor Ivey, said she didn't know how members of the Alabama Executive Committee could have voted to oppose a gas tax bill because there was no bill to have read, so that stands the test.
It does. The members of the Alabama legislature haven't seen it either, and that's something obviously we're going to want to have some time to look at, although that's becoming increasingly questionable as we head into session on Tuesday.
Well, when you say it becoming questionable, what do you mean?
Well, having time to actually look at what we're going to be asked to vote on. I mean, this is something that, you know, I think everybody's probably heard the rumors of the special session, and I think it's realistic to expect that's probably going to happen. I mean, I will tell you this: I've packed plenty of underwear. That's kind of how I'm looking at this right now, to make sure that we're ready to stay for a while. But I think this is what's going to happen as soon as we're in. I think this is what's going to be on the agenda as soon as we're in, and I think members are going to be expected to make a decision really quick on what's contained in the bill, whether or not they're okay with it. And I frankly think the opportunity to amend or change what is put before us will be very limited.
Okay, so let's say that Tuesday start session, you gavel in for regular session. When you say a special, could it, because I'm used to hearing special sessions at the end of regular sessions, but it's feasible to have a special session right at the beginning of regular session?
That's correct. There's a special session within the regular session, and it basically forces the legislature to focus on a specific call. And those are specific issues that are important to the governor. Obviously, it doesn't take a really seasoned politician to figure out what those issues are. We know this is her issue. There also are some procedural advantages to moving legislation through a special session. Can avoid a budget isolation resolution and other things like that, the BIR you've probably heard of before. So there are some procedural hurdles that are lessened during a special session. If that's what the governor chooses to do here, then I think that will be why she chooses to do it this way.
Yeah, just analysis of a special. So without you get rid of BIR, but in addition, don't you change? Does it go from 3/5 to another? Is it a 51-49, or how do the votes go to pass?
Yeah, that's correct. The threshold is much lower for the BIR, so you don't have to have the votes to get the BIR to let the bill pass the third reading. So that's the procedural advantage there. So it would take fewer votes. Now it's still got to have a majority, and that's what we'll be looking at. And then again, the other thing is the call is limited, the scope is limited. So you're not talking about anything else. This is it, and that'll be interesting given the fact that this legislation, because it's a revenue bill, will have to start in the House. So in the Senate, up on the seventh floor, we are going to be taking up, most likely, a bill introduced by Senator Chambliss, which I've worked with him on, that requires, it basically puts additional accountability measures on ALDOT, and uses the Senate and the House's oversight authority to essentially confer and concur with the State Transportation Improvement Plan, the STIP, the five-year plan, basically. And that's what we're trying to do, is exercise a little bit more authority over where and how this money is spent, to make sure that if any of this moves forward, that it is spent on roads and bridges and infrastructure and not on bureaucracy and bureaucrats and pickup trucks.
All right. I mean, I guess you have a little advantage there in the Senate because, like you said, because funding starts in the House, and they will have to, even if they started this on Tuesday, doesn't it take a couple days? Don't they have to do three readings or something like that and then pass it along?
Correct. And even at its fastest, this would take 5 days to do. I mean, and we're assuming that all of this works. We're assuming the bill even comes out of the House by making this conversation. And Sean, I'll tell you right now, I'm not certain of that. If I was a betting man, I think I'd keep my money in my pocket on this one. I don't know that that it'll ever come out of the House. It may be something that never gets to the Senate floor. But yes, you're correct. It takes at least 5 legislative days for it to get through the two chambers. So, like I said, I've got enough drawers through Saturday.
Well, okay, because I mean the deal there would be session. Usually, y'all are Tuesday through Thursday, right?
Right, right.
But in a special session, it's what, as long as it takes, or.
That's essentially what can happen, and I'm expecting to be in Montgomery through Saturday, home for church, and then probably back on Monday, depending on how things go. But it will be a very fluid situation.
Okay, so that's going on next week. You're planning to stick with it. Like I was saying, in the Senate, you'll have a little extra time that kind of guessing what might come out of the House. Y'all will be working on edits to what you think will come out of the House that the Senate will do to it?
And that's another issue. I am getting the very real impression that opportunities to amend this bill are going to be very limited. Now, I'm not saying that won't happen, but I met with some of my Baldwin County mayors day before yesterday, and all of them had these, what I would say, fairly big ideas on how to do this differently. And I think that's probably going to be a non-starter. I don't know that there's going to be those types of opportunities to make these types of sweeping edits. I think the pie has already been baked, if you will.
Okay.
It's hard to add ingredients at this point. And let's understand why that is. The Speaker of the House is very much a proponent of this bill. The House leadership is very much a proponent of this bill. The governor is very much a proponent of this bill. The Senate, the president pro tem of the Senate, Del Marsh, is very much a proponent of this bill, and this leader, his leadership, is very much a proponent of this bill. The Senate whip, I think they're calling him the majority floor leader, is a good friend of mine, Clyde Chandler from Autauga County, is going to be carrying the bill in the Senate. So the leadership that controls how this works and what it looks like, they're all supporters of the bill.
Okay, so they're supporters. They've got it kind of cooked in. Have you answered that question you and I talked about before? I guess it has to be already done. The kind of the split between the major metro areas and the others in the state.
Really, still yet to be determined. I have a decent idea of how this is going to work, and this is, but it's mostly hearsay. And every time I feel like I've got an idea of what it's going to be, it changes the next day when I hear the next rumor. So I'm just going to say I'm not necessarily satisfied on that split yet. I'm not exactly satisfied on ensuring that our coastal Alabama area gets its share, but that is something I am very much looking for. My concern is weighing whether or not the need for infrastructure outweighs any potential downsides from how much they're taking from us. So they're going to take some. It's just a matter of how much.
Do you have an idea how you're going to vote?
I don't. I haven't seen the bill, and I'll tell you, I'm never going to commit to a bill that I haven't seen. So I haven't seen it yet. So no, I'm not in one camp or the other at this point.
All right, I'll be bringing your phone next week. You know that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we text often. I encourage you to do so.
All right, very good. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, State Senator Chris Elliott, District 32, check it in. Now we talk to you. Y'all see what's coming, right? 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, as our own Rennie Brabner said a second ago, tonight it's the crew. We got parades going. Orange Beach, Pensacola's got some. We've got Fairhope. I'll be watching the boys from the crew tonight downtown. More on our website. You want to keep up with the whole schedule. Plus, go back and binge listen to the Moon Pie Minute. They're all listed right there. FMTalk1065.com. You'll see the tab for Moon Pie Minute. Click that and go from there. All right. I want to check in with Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins as we get ready for a big tradition, historical tradition for our city, and that is the Mardi Gras celebration. And y'all are chock full of history, too. I mean, we think about you for jewelry and knives and all those things, but y'all got a lot of history in that store.
Well, we certainly do, and it's one of those things we don't think about it, but if you walk into the shop and you pick up an old worn silver dollar, well, it didn't get that way just from sitting in a box somewhere. It actually did all sorts of things. It was used in a lot of different transactions to get worn down to that point. So if that silver dollar could talk, there is no telling what kind of stories it would tell. And you got to think, if some of these coins were from the Mobile area, we're probably glad they can't talk.
That's for sure. And what's neat is when people can come in and find silver rounds or different coins like that for specific years, somebody's birthday, something significant in a year in their life, and get that as a gift. It really makes it extra special.
Well, it makes it extra special and makes them realize that you didn't just rush down to the store and buy the first thing you saw on the shelf. You actually put some thought into this. And that's the other thing that's sort of nice, as you've taught me, we can actually plan ahead. Come by the shop on it. Make it a regular basis. Come by once a week, once a month. Check out the cool new stuff. And you don't have to have a reason to buy something. Buy it if you see the cool, perfect thing for your partner. Buy it, set it back, and wait till it's time to give it.
Yeah, that's the way to work ahead. All right, give people directions to come see y'all.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street, and we are well away from all the festivities, so you don't have to worry about too much traffic. You can always call us at 251-725-1590, or check us out on Facebook. Look up Mobile Bay Coins.
Thanks, Angelo. Happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras, Sean.
All right. Head to the phones now at 343-0106. And also in the text, Steve did some estimation here. Said 10 cents per gallon tax increase. Say you buy 100 gallons a month, that's 10 bucks. That will get you over the new I-10 bridge maybe three times, maybe. that. That's good. All right, let's go to David up next in Mobile. And before we go any further, because I won't have a chance to talk to you before tomorrow with the floral parade. Thank you again for stepping up in such a big way to help out these families of the fallen and that float. I'm real proud, very happy. Thank you.
You're welcome, and you know what? It's just money. You can't take it with you when you die, so you might as well spend it on a good cause.
A great cause. Well done. So y'all cheer big when those throws start raining down on us tomorrow at the front of the floral parade with the Family of the Fallen float. All right, and I don't know, there'll be, by next year we could be assessing gas tax on the vehicles pulling the floats through parade route A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Exactly, and they'll actually spend more money on gas taxes because when they go that slow, they don't get really good gas mileage.
True, that's right.
My question is this. Why do we have to have a special session to talk about gas tax when it sounds like they pretty much know what they want to do and it's pretty going to be bing, bang, boom? I mean, I know that there has been special sessions called during the middle of the regular session in the past, but it's usually to deal with something, an emergency situation, or a really difficult issue that's going to take a lot of wrangling and a lot of time to do. Like the last time they called a special session during session, I believe was the last time that they prorated the education budget. So why do we have to have a special session to do this?
Okay. So, I mean, I think you just laid it out, right? So it's it lessens, in my opinion, and my argument here is it lessens the ability of a minority opinion to derail something in session. In other words, you don't have budget, BIRs, you don't have the three-fifths. You go to simple majority on approval. So if you're kind of whipping the votes and seeing if you had the counts, you're like, okay, here's what we have, Governor. Here's what we have, Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh. Here's what we have, Speaker McCutcheon. We're 53% of our body is going to vote for this, or 55%. You sure would rather deal with that in a simple majority vote than you would in a three-fifths.
Well, I can understand that, but also, what are the constitutional requirements for the governor to call a session if this isn't one of those fall under like an extraordinary circumstance that would require the governor to call a special session?
I think it's wider than that.
Who listens to your show or space and may want to that issue.
Yeah, and he might. If he could chime in, I appreciate the call. If he could chime in, that'd be good. But I really think it's, I'll dig into it. Just out of somewhere, I've got somebody running down a hallway in my brain trying to find that file. And right now they slipped and fell on some coffee or something. But I think it's pretty broad. I think it's pretty broad. The governor's, the executive branch's ability to call for a special session within the legislative branch. I think it is. But I'm always open to information. So, Dalton, if we see something that is contrary to that, please let me know. Let's go to Baldwin County. Check in with William. Hey, William.
How you do this afternoon?
Good, sir. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Look, I got some comments. To begin with, how does the state come about taxing an unstable commodity? And these oil companies don't have anybody watching out for us when we go to the gas pump. And in some areas, the gas tax has done went up 36 or 37 cents.
Meaning where?
They started all this nonsense.
Meaning where?
By the time they get around to collecting the 6 cents, it's going to be more like 60 cents.
Well, it's going to end up at 10 cents. First of all, let me go back. Let's hit the rewind. Where have they already started going up?
All over.
Like, can you give me a gas station? I mean, have you gone somewhere that they said, hey, we're raising the price because the gas tax has been raised?
No. They're going up on it to get the price up as high as they can before this tax goes in.
I wonder why they do that now. Wouldn't that make them uncompetitive for the other? I mean,
Sure. Some of them right now are their price. Most people drive past them.
Yeah, that's a bad, like, I mean, I'm not in the selling gasoline business. I'm in the radio business, but that would be bad business.
Sure. And look, to me, now, this is just my opinion, and I'm a country pumpkin.
A pumpkin or a bumpkin?
Well, either one.
I'm a bumpkin. I think if you're a pumpkin, that's cool, too. I never, but go ahead.
But this gas, this bridge they're trying to build, to me, that's a waste. A waste of money. And why not put the state, put a lottery in and use lottery money? You go down to Mississippi and the parking lot is full of Alabama cars.
Use lottery money for what part? What
build the bridge.
To build the bridge instead of, and right now, you know, and I want to say this, that as everybody that's told me that has seen some parts of this bill said that it's not, the money from the gas tax does not go to the bridge because that money has already been allocated and funded, and you got the private enterprise coming in that does the tolling to pay for the rest. But on the lottery thing, here's the thing, William, I've said it 100 times, we could find out whatever the biggest thing the state has to deal with, and it could be infrastructure, it could be prisons, it could be whatever, they will never pass a lottery that doesn't have funding for children. Whether the ETF, Education Trust Fund, which is behind its own wall there, separate from the general fund budget, whether it was so flush that the money was bursting out of the building, it doesn't matter. Have you ever seen a lottery pass anywhere that doesn't, like, oh, it's for the kids? William, it's for the kids. I mean, it's always for the kids. It's the only way they pass it. That's the only way they pass it. So people can say, well, I don't like lotteries, but I want to help kids, so it's okay. All right. We'll go to the next call. Appreciate it, man. 343-0106. And well, there's Jay in Mobile. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Sean. I'd like to ask you a question. I really enjoy your show because it talks about topics that are local that matter, that we can do, that affect us, really affect us.
Thank you, man.
I want to ask you a question. And I would want to say, first off, I think that's a great point about the lottery. I think that maybe we should attempt to do that. I don't know. I've lost faith in the public school system because I think it's too controlled by the federal government, and I think that the federal government is devolving and getting worse and worse as I get older and older. But I want to ask you a question. Is not the gas tax basically a sales tax where a percent of each gallon sold goes to the state? Is that correct?
It's not percentage, it's fixed. In other words, it's 10 cents if for some reason gasoline dropped to $1 a gallon, it's still the additional 10 cents. If it's $15 a gallon, it's still the additional 10 cents.
Right. Gallon sold, they will get a percentage. Seems to me then, as population increases, would not the state be getting more money for each gallon sold? And as it increases, due to the laws of economy, would not the state be in better shape, say, if they sold 100 million gallons of gas versus, say, 50 million gallons of gas?
Real fair question, and it's one I've asked before of folks. Here's what I was told, and you know, without being a researcher and roadway wear and tear and all that, they said, you know, at the same time, that is true. There are more vehicles, therefore more tax revenue coming in, but the vehicles also, compared to 1992, the fuel efficiency standards are so much higher that there are way more miles driven, more wear and tear per gallon of gasoline purchased. And they said in that is where the problem has come. Because basically in basic math, you're exactly spot on, right? You have more vehicles out there, you have more gallons burned, you have more revenue. But they said more vehicles has not equaled directly more gallons because these vehicles travel and burn less gas.
Now, I want to ask you a question in that same vein. Would not the vehicles be more efficient and cause less damage to the roads and wear out the roads less because they are more efficient, better designed, lighter generally on the same level? So
now, you and I, Jay,
it seems to me that's a dual-edged sword.
Jay, you and I are on the same page. So I asked the same question. We are brilliant. You're brilliant. I asked the same questions, and they said to me, well, while some vehicles have been lightened, they said, look at pickups and SUVs, where the weights are still high, but the engine work has been just a lot more efficient. They said they're not that much lighter than their counterparts from 1992, but their fuel efficiency is way, way higher. Now, once again, I'm just telling you what I was told when I brought up the same questions you have.
I think my concern is this. I have become inherently distrustful of government.
I wonder why.
I hear you. And I'm probably more against it. I wouldn't say I'd slam the door on it, but I want it to be with guarantees that will actually work. And help make things better, not just take more money out of my pocket for someone else to spend. In other words, I would like me to have as much money as I can, as opposed to a load contractor having my money. In other words, I need to know that it's going to be useful and make things better. That is my concern for this.
I hope I could tell you for sure that it would be, but I can only go on what they say. I can't give you a guarantee on that.
Well, I will say this. At this point, and I want to use this example, and I think that I'm right, otherwise I would change how I thought. I probably am personally against the lottery, but I want to say this. The problem we have with it is like they had in World War One. If England is going to use poisonous gas, Germany better use poisonous gas. And if Germany's going to use it, then Russia better use it. And what's happening to us is, if we don't have a lottery, we are being forced into doing things because our competitors are doing things.
Well, I think it's a fair point. And add to that, staple this on the back of it, that if you don't think, now I don't think the lottery drives a whole bunch of it, but when I talk about full gambling, because I would have the right of referendum for that, for the people to vote on it as well. But if you don't believe there's societal ills with gambling, I think you are keeping your eyes closed. There absolutely are. There's groups out there that like you to believe there's not. There are. But I would argue that those societal ills come home to Alabama, but the revenue leaves the state. I mean, people go gamble, get themselves in pickles, and come home to Alabama with those pickles, leaving their money in other states.
I think you're basically right. You know, I don't think it's an either or. And I think that, you know, we would probably have more if we have it closer to home, because the further something away is, the more harder it makes. But as you're pointing out, Biloxi is, what, 35, 40 miles from Mobile, and Pensacola is 50.
Yeah, go look at the tags in those parking lots for sure. Yeah, appreciate your call, man. Got to run to the break. Coming right back, it is more of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1253 FM Talk 106.5. Another quick reminder, go by and see my friends, the Manis family. Cottage Hill Package, you're getting ready to go celebrate for Fat Tuesday or Joe Kane Day or a big cookout at your house or whatever. Want to get a craft beer, six-pack of something really tasty, they've got it. You're a fan of fine wines, they've got those. Great liquors. And if you're a cigar smoker, a huge humidor. A humidor big enough, it's got its own park ranger. Now, they call him the tobacconist, but he'll lead you around and show you some really great cigars, maybe that you know, maybe that some you've never heard of. Check them out. Billy the Tobacconist and the whole crew at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, or check them out on Facebook. Make sure to like their page there. Also, coming up next hour, I've got something I have got to go do, and we have gotten, I don't know, Dalton can back me up, I mean, a bunch of inquiries about an interview I did on this show a couple weeks ago about CBD with Terry Brighton from Azalea City Hand and Rehab, and he's going to, we're going to replay that coming up next hour. So if you didn't hear it, CBD in Alabama, that show's going to run in just a second. Now we'll go to Paul in Mobile. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, man.
You know, I think about the weight of trucks and cars on the highway and the damage they do. I think we've got a lot more 18-wheelers than we've ever had because of Amazon and Walmart.
Good point.
And the lottery, again, is regressive. More poor people buy lottery tickets than anybody else. And let's just say that we have a lottery in Alabama. I don't think that we would be able to pay out very much money because we don't have a big population of some of the other people. So here in Alabama, a $2 ticket, the winnings may be $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've given pie in the sky.
They may pay 10 or 12 million. So where are you going to spend your $2?
Right. Well, they've given pie in the sky. You know, they say, oh, it could bring in all this money. My suggestion was, I believe in the right of the people for referendum to decide if they want to do this or not. But why does the state have to be in the business?
You think they should vote on segregation, too?
That would affect the rights of human beings that were protected by the Constitution, so no. But beyond that, things are outside the purview of...
So as long as you can just lose all your money.
You got to make choices.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of our major differences. You and I agree on a few things, but one of our major core differences is, I believe, people's right to make bad decisions. You know, I really do. I want to.
Those bad decisions hurt the populace.
Yeah, yeah, to some degree. Yeah, because make a totalitarian? Hold on one second. You could make a totalitarian world where you made every decision about what somebody ate, what somebody drank, what somebody spent on, what about an exercise they got each day. You could make a system where you would wait. Let me finish, Paul. You could make a system where everybody would be. You're not listening to me. This is the part where you listen to me. You could make every decision for the people and to make it to where they would never be any additional burden on society because they would all be fit. They would all be perfectly educated. They wouldn't do any drug, anything like that. And then you could... So, using that idea, you never stopped.
Gambling has been illegal around the world throughout the world's history.
Mm, it's also been legal throughout the world.
In some places.
I'm just thinking that line from Casablanca. I'm just thinking Casablanca for a second. But the idea, and I think like Jay was saying, though, he's against it as well, but he realizes people go do it. I'm not encouraging. I have no dog in the hunt. I believe people should have the right to vote on it. At the same time, I don't believe the state should be in the business. I have that crazy idea where I think we should have a referendum to legalize lotteries. Then if private businesses want to get in and conduct them, then fine.
Well, I believe we should get out of the liquor business, but, you know, that's all of those. I don't know that we own any of those liquor stores. I think that they're all leased.
Yeah, you jumped subjects, but you are right. You're right.
Each senator and congressperson in the state of Alabama, their buddies get the leases on these.
Well, there's fewer and fewer people. Actually, there's some just real big players, at least those. And it kind of jumped because I wasn't saying liquor. I was saying lotto. I think that we should have a right of referendum to legalize private lotteries, and then companies would pay an excise tax to the state. They would get their revenue that way without the state being the lottery business. But that's, I know, shocking to people to think about that. On the liquor store thing, you're right on the lease function. I've been, you know, harping on it for 9 years around here. But there are fewer players in that. But, of course, that's way more influence, isn't it? Appreciate the call. I have got to do this. So we'll go to the news break here. Coming back, a encore edition of Midday Mobile. It is the CBD discussion that had my inbox full for a couple weeks here. So you want to go back through it and listen to it. If you didn't get to check it the first time, you're going to get to hear it again. Terry Brighton joins us, and we'll talk about CBD in the state of Alabama. It is legal. What are all the nuances to it? Well, you'll get it coming up next hour. All right, y'all have a great one. Happy Mardi Gras, everybody.